on walking walks. My ethos was shaped when, at 15, I was put in jail for, allegedly, attacking a policeman with a slab of concrete during a student riot. An incident with strange ramifications, since my grandfather was then the Minister of the Interior and the person who signed the order to crush our revolt. One of the rioters was shot dead when a policeman who had been hit on the head with a stone panicked and randomly opened fire on us. I recall being at the center of the riot and feeling a huge satisfaction upon my capture, while my friends were scared of both prison and their parents. We frightened the government so much that we were granted amnesty. There were some obvious benefits in showing one's ability to act on one's opinions and not compromising an inch to avoid offending or bothering others. I was in a state of rage and didn't care what my parents and grandfather thought of me. This made them quite scared of me, so I could not afford to back down or even blink. Had I concealed my participation in the riot, as many friends did, and been discovered instead of being openly defiant, I am certain that I would have been treated as a black sheep. It is one thing to be cosmetically defiant of authority by wearing unconventional clothes, what social scientists and economists call cheap signaling, and another to prove willingness to translate belief into action. My paternal uncle was not too bothered by my political ideas. These come and go. He was outraged that I used them as an excuse to dress sloppily. To him, inelegance on the part of a close family member was the mortal offense. Public knowledge of my capture had another major benefit. It allowed me to avoid the usual outward signs of teenage rebellion. I discovered that it's much more effective to act like a nice guy and be reasonable if you prove willing to go beyond just verbiage. You can afford to be compassionate, lax, and courteous if, once in a while, when it's least expected of you but completely justified, you sue someone or savage an enemy, just to show that you can walk the walk. Paradise evaporated. The Lebanese paradise suddenly evaporated after a few bullets and mortar shells. A few months after my jail episode, after close to 13 centuries of remarkable ethnic coexistence, a black swan, coming out of nowhere, transformed the place from heaven to hell. A fierce civil war began between Christians and Muslims, including the Palestinian refugees who took the Muslim side. It was brutal, since the combat zones were in the center of the town, and most of the fighting took place in residential areas. My high school was only a few hundred feet from the war zone. The conflict lasted more than a decade and a half. I'll not get too descriptive. It may be that the invention of gunfire and powerful weapons turned what, in the age of the sword, would have been just tense conditions into a spiral of uncontrollable tit-for-tat warfare. Aside from the physical destruction, which turned out to be easy to reverse with a few motivated contractors, bribed politicians, and naive bondholders, the war removed much of the crust of sophistication that had made the Levantine cities a continuous center of great intellectual refinement for 3,000 years. Christians had been leaving the area since Ottoman times. Those who moved to the West took Western first names and melded in. Their exodus accelerated. The number of cultured people dropped below some critical level. Suddenly, the place became a vacuum. Brain drain is hard to reverse, and some of the old refinement may be lost forever.